Brazil's Supreme Court formalized a criminal investigation last week into President Jair Bolsonaro's handling of the pandemic. It could eventually lead to his impeachment. At the same time, Brazil's death toll from COVID-19 continues to spiral out of control. The country just passed 400,000 fatalities since the beginning of the pandemic, with no significant slowdown in sight. With support from the Sloan Foundation, special correspondent Simon Ostrovsky and producer Charles Lyons brings us the first of two reports.
With a universal health care system, a long history of successful mass vaccination campaigns, and the delayed arrival of the coronavirus to its shores in 2020, Brazil had ample expertise and time to prepare for the COVID-19 pandemic. These are the grim scenes unfolding in hospitals around South America's most populous nation as they reach the point of collapse. Crowded waiting rooms and crowded ICUs, a medical staff that's barely able to keep up. The situation in this municipal hospital in Sao Paulo is typical of the situation in hospitals around the region and around the country. This is a neighborhood hospital. Originally, it had just 7 ICU beds, but they've increased that to 94. 94 beds isn't nearly enough.
The symptoms are much worse, much faster, and we have almost 50% of the patients are below 50 years. That didn't happen last year.
Dr. Maurizio Bescau staffs the hospital's newest COVID ward with 20 ICUs. He told NewsHour it was the worst medical catastrophe he'd witnessed over his 20-year medical career.
This hospital is 100% COVID, so it's very high. It's very high. The disease is terrible. The disease is very, very hard on the patients. They die very quickly sometimes. Sometimes 2 or 3 days and they are dead. And the family, I think, is the worst part, because at the moment the patient comes into the hospital, the family can't see the patient anymore at all.
From big cities like Rio de Janeiro and São Paulo, to remote river communities along the Amazon. Over 400,000 Brazilians have died of COVID since the pandemic began here last year. It's a death toll second only to the United States. Many Brazilians blame this man, the country's right-wing populist leader, Jair Bolsonaro. Here he is speaking in November, just as the disastrous second wave was getting underway.
Everything is about the pandemic nowadays. We have got to stop with this. I'm sorry for the dead. I'm sorry. But we're all going to die one day. Everybody here is going to die. We have to stop being a country of sissies.
Marcia Castro is a Brazilian researcher and chair of the Department of Global Health and Population at Harvard's Chan School of Public Health.
The president of Brazil was very similar to what Donald Trump used to be when he was president. So they both denied the importance of the virus. They both completely ignored science. They both had behavior of going out, hanging out with people, shaking hands, not using masks, so completely against what had to be done. And they also both were against lockdowns.
The country's top leadership allowed the virus to spread unhindered in the name of the economy and with the belief that so-called herd immunity could end the pandemic.
It was a sequence of mistakes that accumulated and end up with what we're seeing now. Many more deaths than we should see, and hospitals not about to collapse, but completely collapsed already.
The city of Manaus, deep in the Amazon, was where the health system collapsed first and hardest. It became so overwhelmed that doctors ran out of oxygen, and many COVID patients simply suffocated to death. According to George Khalil, the head of clinical immunology and allergy at the University of São Paulo School of Medicine, it became a breeding ground for a new highly infectious variant called P1.
In Manaus, for instance, we have many people that had already disease, so we had a partial immunity. When you have partial immunity, you can select mutants that have a better adherence to the receptor or can, you know, escape from the immune response.
The idea that herd immunity could provide a population with protection was disproven disastrously here.
David Almeida has only been the mayor of Manaus for a few months. When the virus encountered a large number of people who'd previously been infected in his city, it evolved to become even more deadly.
At the peak of the pandemic, we were burying more than 200 people a day.
What lesson does Manaus have to teach the world about the effectiveness of the so-called herd immunity concept?
The emergence of a new variant happened exactly because of the great proliferation of the virus, in which the virus became more resistant to the treatment. There are only two paths to solving the pandemic issue: social distancing and vaccination.
But Brazil is lagging behind the rest of the world. One of the reasons is Brazil's president, who was offered 70 million Pfizer doses last summer and declined to sign a contract, alleging that the American pharmaceuticals giant refused to take responsibility for potential side effects.
If you turn into a crocodile, it's your problem. If you turn into Superman, if a woman grows a beard or a man starts speaking in a high voice, they want nothing to do with it.
Only now, over a year into the pandemic, has the Brazilian government joined the global scramble for vaccines. The change of heart came as Bolsonaro's popularity plummeted, as tens of thousands of graves are being added to cemeteries like this one.
With space running out, grave diggers who can barely keep up with the pace exhume older bones to make way for the deluge of COVID dead here in São Paulo. Even so, there are still millions of Bolsonaro supporters who seem fazed by nothing. They argue that the lockdowns hurt the economy and that the science behind mask wearing is unproven, echoing rhetoric that the president himself has used throughout his tenure.
We are a poor country, a lot of people dying, starving in starvation because need to work. Everybody needs to work here. It's sad to see what's going on in the economy in Brazil.
Patrick Folina is a self-described investor who spoke to me at a small protest camp in São Paulo that was set up by supporters of the president.
I've got to ask you, why aren't you wearing a mask?
I'm not afraid. I use the mask inside the building.
People don't seem to understand the severity of the disease. They still are going shopping, they're partying, and outside in the streets, don't even use a mask. But they don't see what we see here. The patients are suffering a lot.
Professor Khalil said he fears what happened in Manaus could lethally repeat in cities across Brazil if large numbers of immunized people drop their guard and re-encounter the virus, giving it the opportunity to mutate again.
Vaccines that we have so far mostly based on the original spike protein with no variants. If you have mutations, you are going to lose some of the targets. It's a kind of war. You have your ammunition, and then you have the enemy. Sometimes the ammunition is not enough for the enemy, sometimes it is.
That's why it's important for vaccine rollouts to happen as quickly as possible. Brazil was once a country that led the world through its accessible and universal health system. No longer.
Brazil has a national immunization program that has also been recognized internationally as being extremely well designed. When we had the threat of H1N1, Brazil vaccinated 80 million people in 3 months. So Brazil knows how to do it. They have the network across the country to do it. We just need the vaccines.
For the PBS NewsHour, I'm Simon Ostrovsky in São Paulo.